Our scripture reading this morning can be found in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 5 through 9, and can be found on page 167 of your pew Bible. Listen now for the word of God. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me this morning? Thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us, this time that you've appointed for us to gather for worship. Thank you for the opportunity we have to read the scripture and to learn from you. God, whatever the other distractions are that we've brought with us this morning, we pray that you would just remove them, that our minds would be focused upon you and what it is you have for us to learn from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. So a few years ago, botanists made an astonishing discovery in the state of Utah, south central Utah. They discovered what they have come to believe is the largest living organism on the planet. And they named this organism Pando. Now, Pando is believed to be about 80,000 years old, one of the oldest living organisms. But to the common observer, Pando would appear to be simply a grove of aspen trees. But what the botanists discovered quite accidentally were that this particular grove of aspen trees all had the exact same DNA. Every single tree, some 50,000 trees, that looked like a grove of trees is actually one tree with one common root system. It covers 100 acres and it weighs about 6 million kilograms is the estimate of Pando. The word Pando literally is a Latin word that means it spreads. And they don't know why this particular tree has spread to be such gigantic proportions. But it looks like 50,000 individual trees, and yet underneath it is all connected as one. Now, where the scientists get it wrong is the fact that this is not the largest living organism in the world. That distinction belongs to the Church of Jesus Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ is the world's largest living organism. And it's very important that we remember the church is an organism. It is not a building or a series of buildings. It's not a cathedral, nor is it a steeple. The church is not something defined by its doctrine, nor by its leaders. The church is a living organism that is organically connected through the common DNA relationship that we have with our founder, Jesus Christ. A DNA that is activated by the presence of the Holy Spirit. We are deeply and spiritually connected with all believers in all places and at all times because of our common spiritual DNA that we share with our founder, Jesus Christ. And wherever these communities of faith may spring up and however different they may look and how strange or unusual their practices may be, underneath of it all is something that binds us together in common. The year that Liz and I spent living in Malawi, Africa, could not have been a more different foreign place culturally. We went from living in the wealthiest country in the world to living in the poorest country in the world. The people had different accents, ate different meals, different ways of life. Everything around us was different. But the one thing that was extraordinarily familiar to us was the church. It was the same Lord Jesus being read in the same Bible with the same prayers and the same practices. People that could not have been more different in so many ways, we discovered were actually our brothers and sisters. The church has different expressions and different ways of worshiping. It has different styles and different forms of government. But it is the same Lord who binds us together as one. Now, the interesting thing about Pando is as new trees are coming up in this grove and the grove continues to strengthen, other trees are dying. And in fact, there are some people very concerned about the health of Pando today, and they're doing studies to try to see what's happening, and it's obviously some human interference that is getting in the way of the health and the growth of this 80,000-year-old incredible tree system. The church is the same. Some churches and communities rise up while others fail and falter. But Paul's observation that he made back way before any of this that you and I see happened is an extraordinarily powerful insight when he said, "We are God's field." We, the church, are God's field. He imagined this incredible organism spreading out across the world like Pando, springing up, and that this all belonged to God. Now, the reason that Paul was making this point that we are God's field is because already at that early time there had grown up some misconceptions about who was really in charge of the church. The people of that particular congregation in Corinth had had two different pastors, two different very significant leaders. Paul, who first came to Corinth and first preached the gospel, and after he left, he was followed by a man named Apollos, who was a profoundly powerful and inspirational and charismatic preacher. And he built upon Paul's work. And what happened in that church where people were saying, "I'm Paul's guy. I came to faith when Paul was here." And then other people were saying, "I'm an Apollos person. I didn't meet Paul, but I came in when Apollos was the pastor." And they began to have sort of an argument about who was the better leader and whose teaching was better and who was closer to God. And it started to cause a rift in the congregation. And Paul got word of this from a distant place, and he wrote back this letter. And he said, "You've got it all wrong. This is not my church, nor is it Apollos' church. This church belongs to God. You are God's field. All I am is a servant. I'm a worker in God's field. I planted. Apollos watered it. But it's God who gives it the growth because this is God's church. It doesn't belong to any human being." Once a church gets connected too closely to any person, the church loses its identity as being God's field. And so Paul is trying to guard against that. Now, there are a couple of really important observations to be made when we come to understand that we are God's field. And the first thing is that we are intended to grow. We are a living organism that is intended to grow. And like any growing plant, there are five conditions that either lead to growth or prevent growth. Five conditions that when they are in place, growth naturally happens. Okay? Heat, light, water, soil, and fertilizer. There are five things. If those five things are in place and the conditions are right, guess what? Things will grow. It is the nature of growing things that if they have the right heat, the right light, the right moisture, the right soil, and the right fertilizer, they will grow. Now, if any of those conditions aren't exactly right, it might grow, but they won't grow as well as they would if all of those conditions are right. Well, what God has put in place is that in the same way plants and living things grow, so it is with churches and with individual Christians. There are five aspects or conditions that either promote or hurt spiritual growth for churches and for people. Does anyone know what those five conditions are? Okay, you see, I wear this tie every once in a while because it has the letter G on it to remind us of our five conditions for spiritual growth, because they all start with the letter G. Now, can anyone remember any of the five conditions that lead to spiritual growth? Give, gather, grow, go, we're growing, glorify, and gain. Are you with me? Is anyone home this morning? Let's go here. Gather, glorify, gain, give, and go. These are the five conditions that lead to human spiritual growth. If these conditions are in place and we put ourselves in a position to experience these things, friends, we will grow spiritually. It is as natural as a plant growing. Human beings will grow when these five conditions are in place. And let me just quickly remind you what they are. When we say gather, we mean by being in relationship with other Christian people, with other Christ followers. When we have relationships with other Christ followers, inevitably our relationship with Jesus Christ is strengthened and we grow spiritually. Glorify means worshiping God. What you're doing right now this morning as we gather, we sing hymns. We do it communally, but it also should be done individually and personally in our own prayer life on a daily basis, including our weekly communal gathering. Gaining means digging deeper into the Word of God, reading the Scriptures and reading them with understanding, or reading other books or texts that help us to understand what the Bible means. We gain deeper understanding of God's truth when we read His Word. Giving means being generous in every aspect of our life. We practice generosity with our time, and we share our time in a way that lifts the burdens of others or teaches others or invests in others. We share our money, and we invest our money together in a communal way so that the whole community of faith is strengthened by our generosity. We share our talents and our abilities to help people who perhaps are struggling in those areas or don't have those particular gifts. And then we go. We take our faith out with us into the world. Like Damaris was teaching the kids, it's not something that's confined to this place, but it's something that we live out in the workplace, out in a community. Some of us go to foreign countries. Some of us go to places where we can serve the poor. Some of us simply go across the street, and we take our life in Christ with us, and we share it by word and by deed. Friends, when we do those five things, I promise you, you will grow spiritually as an individual, and we will grow spiritually as a community of faith. These aren't things that I've invented or made up. These are just embedded in the Scripture. They have been with us since the very beginning of the era of the church. You and I, like Pando, will spread out and sprout up, and we will change the world and the people around us. We are God's field, and we are intended to grow. And so it's very important that all of us think about, well, are all the conditions working in my life? Am I availing myself to worship on a regular basis? Am I practicing generosity? Am I serving the poor? Am I getting together on a regular basis in fellowship? Am I reading God's Word and going to classes where I can be instructed? Am I taking advantage of the opportunities? Because you see, that's my job. And the elders and the other members of staff and the deacons, we're simply here as servants to try to make the conditions as optimal as we possibly can so that you can grow in your faith in Jesus Christ. This is not my church. This is not Nancy Tindall's church. This is not Joan's church, nor is it Enoch's church. It's not Karen Collins' church, and it's not Maureen's church, friend. This is Jesus' church. This is God's church. We're here as his servants, and we are all God's field, and he wants us to grow. And we're doing everything we can to try to create the optimal conditions, but friends, you've got to avail yourselves to these opportunities that God is placing in front of us if we are to grow. We are God's field. The second thing about being God's field is when you're in a field, it's not just about you, but it's about everyone else. Remember Pando? Each one of those trees is connected to all the other trees in that 100-acre grove. Those 50,000 trees are all connected to one another, and so it is with God's field, with his church. And what that means is something incredibly important and powerful. Please don't miss this. Often we think about our own spiritual growth. How am I doing? Am I becoming a more loving person, a more gentle person, a more Christ-like person? And that's an important question to ask. But when we understand that we're God's field, that means that your spiritual growth is connected to my spiritual growth and to the person next to you and to the people who are going to be coming to the next service. We do not grow spiritually apart from the spiritual growth of all. And this is a profoundly important point. And we all know that this is true. I mean, think about a child. How does a child grow spiritually? Who is the most important spiritual influence in the life of a child? The parents. Not the Sunday school teacher, important as they are, not the youth advisor, it's the parents. Now, is there a greater likelihood a child is going to grow spiritually if their parents are growing spiritually? In other words, a child's spiritual growth is conditioned by the spiritual growth of the parents. Now, this is so obvious, we don't even think about it, but just take that a little bit further. How about the friend? How about the Christian sitting next to you? How about your pastor? Friends, my spiritual growth is directly connected to yours. You all have absolutely no idea how profoundly you impact my faith in Jesus Christ when I see spiritual growth happening in your life. You know, one of the most profoundly important parts of my ministry is the class that we call Start Here. We've called it New Member Class, Inquirers Class. It's had a million different names. It's the same thing. It's for new people who are coming into the life of the church. Brand new people, sometimes brand new Christians, people who have just met Jesus Christ. I've taught this class dozens and dozens and dozens of times. But friends, I'm here to tell you, every single time I teach that class, I come out a stronger Christian because of the stories that you have shared with me. When I hear about how God has touched your life, what brought you to this church, things that have happened to you along the way, it inspires me in a way that you have no idea. And then I take those stories and I'll go into the next session meeting. I'll say to the elders, you've got to hear about so-and-so. What happened to them? And I'll tell the members of our staff. And we come out of those meetings so pumped up because of your faith. You're the ones who are feeding us and helping us to grow so that we can be more effective in the work that God has called us to do as servants in the field. Your faith and what God is doing in your life is an inspiration to us all. When you are here, the church is stronger. When you're not here, we're weaker. When you come to adult Bible study, we learn more. When you're not there, we learn less. You deprive us of the opportunity of your incredibly insightful question that would spark spiritual growth in everyone else in that class. when you go on a mission trip, it's not just you who grow in your faith, but every single person in that group. When you show up at youth ministry, the entire fellowship is strengthened. When you come to Rock, every single kid is inspired by your presence there. When you decide to be generous with your money, it's not just you who grows, but the entire church is blessed. We are God's field. And that means that you and I bear responsibility for one another and the overall health of that field. It's not good if you have one really healthy stalk of wheat and everything else is drying up and dying. You need a field that's healthy. It's not enough for one tree in Pando to be alive, but all 50,000 growing, thriving. And so I carry that with me, and I want to share that with you. And so the question is, are you growing spiritually? Are you taking advantage of the conditions that have been prepared? And do you realize and recognize that your decisions and your health will lead to my health and the health of our field here in Allentown?